be Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. Tornadoes hit Texas, Oklahoma, and Nebraska yesterday afternoon. Hundreds of buildings and homes were damaged in Omaha. CBS's Omar Villafranca reports.
Multiple tornadoes ripping through the state.
That is a tornado in Lincoln, Nebraska.
With reports of major damage, including a building collapse near Waverly and a train blown off the tracks.
Wow.
The violent tornadoes also tearing through central Texas.
Additional college campuses are jumping in the protests against the Israel-Hamas war. Correspondent Lilia Luciano is in New York City.
New pro-Palestinian demonstrations at Loyola University in Louisiana, Stanford, and Arizona State.
ASU has been an extremely safe environment. I think that this year I have been feeling that that is not the case.
Here at Columbia University, where it all began, it's day 10 of protests, and student protesters are saying, we're going to keep the tents up until the university meets our demands.
Much of the first week of testimony in former President Donald Trump's hush money trial revolved around former National Enquirer publisher David Becker.
Two witnesses were called after David Becker. Rona Graff, a trusted associate of Donald Trump. She was his former executive assistant and moved her way up at the Trump Organization. And just before the proceedings adjourned for the weekend, they heard from Gary Faro, who's best described as a type of custodian of records for Michael Cohen.
CBS's Errol Barnett reporting. The Biden administration is again delaying a plan to ban menthol cigarettes. Correspondent Linda Kenyon has the latest from the White House.
It's the second delay in 2 months, and the Secretary of Health and Human Services says only that more time is needed to consider feedback. The delay is certain to anger anti-smoking advocates, but it may be good news for those who smoke menthols. They're especially popular among black smokers and teenage smokers.
There is positive news out of the UK about the royal family, the BBC's Stuart McIntosh.
King Charles is to start returning to public duties in Britain next week after reacting positively to treatment for cancer. Buckingham Palace said doctors had been very encouraged by his progress so far. He'll continue to be treated for an unspecified form of the disease. His upcoming duties will include hosting Emperor Naruhito of Japan in June for a state visit.
King Charles is 75 years old. Regulators abruptly closed Republic First Bank operating in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York, the first bank failure this year. Fulton Bank in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, will take over Republic's deposits, assets, and branches. The last bank failure was Citizens Bank in Iowa in November. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Women in politics are reporting a spike in threats and harassment. Mike Moan reports.
The Brennan Center for Justice recently issued findings that detail the threatening behavior those in the political arena are experiencing now. Women were 3 to 4 times as likely as men to experience abuse targeting their gender. Erin Velarde of the advocacy and assistance group Vote Run Lead says this creates more unfairness in areas such as resource planning for a campaign.
We see women candidates and incumbents right now having to pay for security, right? Having to put in their budgets, in their campaign funds, in their line items, you know, for their campaigns, a security detail.
Ann Velarde says because of the worsening climate, the threats are extending to almost all other candidates, including conservative white men. She and other researchers call on party leaders to strongly condemn political violence. They also recommend that each state implement stronger protection for office holders. And Velarde says it's not just women candidates and incumbents having to deal with this behavior. Women working as top aides and political journalists are subject to more hateful rhetoric these days.
This is something that permeates women in politics, not just for the folks that are stepping up to lead, but for the ecosystem of women around them.
And if more women decide not to run or seek re-election as a result, Velarde says this means there will be fewer opportunities for gender equality in leadership positions in state legislatures and Congress. She urges constituents to send messages of support to women office holders as they weigh these challenges and their political futures. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Few showers and storms tonight and breezy. Temps steady to slowly rising through the 50s. Lingering drops tomorrow morning, then partly sunny and warming into the upper 70s for tomorrow afternoon. Another round of showers and storms tomorrow night on into Sunday. It's 55 right now.
Earl Ingram.
Monday morning, join me as I stroll through memory lane and take in the sounds of the Motor City. It's Motown Mondays.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to WRJN, Racine and Kenosha's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin coming to you live from the studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the conversation. You can call, you can text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at 1133 on Milwaukee.com's entertainment guy, Matt Miller, will be joining us. We're going to talk about a little recap of the Milwaukee Film Festival and movies that you're going to still be able to catch if you were not able to attend. So stay close for that. Matt's joining us right after the 11:30 news. We haven't done this in a while, so we thought we would do a round of the good, the bad, and a festival about what?
Okay.
All right.
Let's do this.
Let's do this. Starting off with something good, and we talk so often about younger people and teenagers and all the challenges they face and all the trouble that some of them get in, yeah. And I think sometimes we just don't celebrate enough when somebody does something good.
Yeah.
So, well done to AC Holland, who's an eighth grader at Glen Hills Middle School in Glendale. His ability to stay calm, according to CBS 58, kept a bus full of kids safe on Wednesday when the driver had a medical emergency.
Wow.
So the bus driver, they're in motion, they're driving, and apparently she nodded off.
Yeah.
Head fell onto the wheel.
Wow.
And that's when AC Holland, an eighth grader, jumped into action. Here's a little sound from him talking to CBS 58.
I was able to move her a little bit out the way, so I was able to grab the steering wheel and get control of the pedal. I just wanted to get the bus to stop and make sure everybody was okay.
So he actually was able to stop the bus near 26th and Villard. Then he continued, I told the kids, one of my friend's brothers, to tell everybody to call their parents and call the police. And then I ran home and got my grandma. His grandmother is a nurse. When she got there, the driver had woken up and contacted dispatch.
Wow.
But that's a really brave thing for that young man to do. Isn't it?
You'd like to think that in situations like, I don't know about you or anybody else, but I do think about situations where like, what could go wrong? What's my first move? Where are the exits? Who can I call? Karate chop. I know no martial arts. But of course, that's all in the moment. It can all be just put to the side. And I don't know at my age, and you said he's eighth grade.
He's in eighth grade.
By the way, it's a very deep voice for an eighth grader. Oh my gosh, sounds more like a man than I do. I don't know if I would have the same reaction. I would love to say yes. I would keep it calm and cool and collect. I do everything I needed to do, but I could be the loudest screamer on that bus. But
we're all going to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right, though. I think we all like to put ourselves in the place of hero.
Oh, yeah. We live in a hero society, TV shows, movies, podcasts, all talking about what they did. And it's like, yeah, I could do that. And when pushed to the edge, I could have my John Wick moment. It's like, no, I'm going to probably fall over and cry. Or just be like, oh, my God, yeah. We're doomed.
Someone fix this.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone fix this.
Well, he what's it? AC
Holland.
AC Holland. took care of it.
Salute. AC Holland, eighth grader, Glen Hills Middle School. Because the bus was starting to veer into traffic when this driver fell unconscious. So that could have ended very, very badly. So, again, well done to AC Holland. Grandma, you must be very, very proud.
Yeah.
Very, very proud. Apparently, his father and grandfather are both car mechanics, and they're tracing him to be a mechanic. His dad says, we might have him drive a car up the driveway or pull one in, and he drives great. He drives real well for his age. I'm just so proud of my son for, you know, allowing that leadership to come forth.
You know, that actually brings up a small good point I'd like to, I'm in favor of. I know that we, as far as Wisconsin goes, you have to be 15, I think it's 15 and a half or 15 to mm-hmm. get your permit, your temps. And then, of course, your driver's license at 16. But I think, personally, you should be able to get your temps a little earlier under a provision. You get taken out to like a parking lot, a big open parking lot, and you start getting yourself familiar with the instruments so that early way when you on. Start taking your lessons,
right.
learning about the rules, because you're trying to learn how to drive a 3,000-pound machine while trying to remember, do I get to go right ahead or do they have the right of way? You know, so maybe make it a longer process of the driver's ed. Like there's one component where it's you and your parents or your grandparents or whomever, you're going to actually drive a car, but in a safe space. And then you'll learn about, you know, I think like when you get thrown behind a wheel at 15, it's scary.
Oh, absolutely. It's intimidating.
And if you're with a stranger sitting next to you and kids in the back, that's not helpful either. Yeah. But yeah.
AC says, I always look at it like this. If my little brother was on that bus, I would hope that someone on there would save him too.
I love this kid.
Yeah. So well done, AC Holland. The good, the bad, and there's a festival about what? Moving on to the bad, and I very much want to hear from you if you are a bird hunter in particular. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. If you're a bird hunter, I would be curious about your opinion about this. I've said many times, I'm a city kid.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up in a hunting family. That's not something that we did. But my brother-in-law is a big hunter mm-hmm. and always has been and always had dogs.
Yes.
He's okay. always had dogs for when he's hunting. So South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem is out with a new book about her life called No Going Back, The Truth on What's Wrong with Politics and How We Move America Forward. In her book, she shares the story about a 14-month-old puppy named Cricket that she took to a gravel pit and shot because she was useless as a hunting dog. Kristi Noem says, while trying to train Cricket to hunt with other dogs, the puppy went out of her mind with excitement, chasing all those birds and having the time of her life. She then said Cricket, the dog, attacked a neighbor's chicken with a look of pure joy. She whipped around to bite me. At that moment, I realized I had to put her down before describing how she did it in a gravel pit. And Kristi Noem said, quote, I hated that dog, unquote.
I'm not a big fan of you, Kristi Noem.
I'm not a hunter, but I know people who especially hunt birds.
Yeah.
And 14 months old, to expect a young dog to be trained that well, I don't know. Is that realistic?
Well, also 14, I mean, at 14 months, if you want a like a world-class hunting dog, are you train them from a puppy, like little puppy, like 3-4 months? Is 14 months a little too old for that kind of specific training that you're looking for? Like, I do have questions as well, but I have thoughts. I know we have somebody waiting to talk to us, but
it's from my understanding, this is a process.
Yeah.
And you introduce the dog to this gradually.
Yeah.
And I certainly wouldn't think that you would introduce a dog to this with a whole bunch of other dogs.
Yeah.
Right? It would be more individual training. Again, I'm guessing. So if you can tell me I'm wrong, 855-752-4842.
And the other thing too is all right, they attacked a chicken.
Yeah.
Puppies are get riled up. And it didn't have a look of glee like, I did it. It's excited because it doesn't know better.
It's a squeaky toy with feathers.
And it tried to bite you. So two things happen and that's it.
And I have to say, when my dog Barkley was alive and friends would watch him when we would go out of town.
Yeah.
And they had new neighbors who, unbeknownst to my friend who was watching Barkley with chickens.
Yeah.
And they let him loose. And Barkley had a really good time with about five of their chickens.
Jeez.
The chickens did not have so much fun. I didn't take him to a gravel pit and shoot him.
You mean dinner?
Yeah. Mark from the SAC is on the line. Good morning, Mark. Thank you so much for joining us. What do you want to say?
Yeah. Good morning. I'm actually walking my dog out in the field right now. He's off the leash, and this is just disgusting. Christine Omkin, I'm struggling to remain FCC compliant over this thing right here, concerning what she did. It's just disgusting. A hunting dog, especially, they're bred to go after birds.
Yeah.
I mean, and the chicken to them is just another bird. It was her failure to have the dog under control that went after that chicken. And for a dog that, I don't know why the dog turned around to bite her. But I mean, I started out, and got my dog at 6 months, and he was partially trained, and because the guy decided it wasn't going to be a field trial dog, and I just wanted a hunting buddy. And it is just contemptible what she did here. I mean, just contemptible, because, for my dog and dogs I've had in the past, how you get these dogs to not respond like that is you're able to put your food, take the food bowl, and put your hand in that food bowl, and they're not going to be protected over the food.
Right.
Yeah.
There's things involved, right? There's things you do, Mark, especially if you're trying to train a hunting dog.
Yeah.
There's got to be a process, I would imagine. You don't just take your 14-month-old puppy out in the field and expect him to go retrieve the bird.
I believe the biggest thing you have to expect them to do, not the dog, but the trainer, is have patience.
Right.
And building a narrative in which the dog is the enemy and the dog is the bad guy in this situation.
Dog doing dog things.
It's just despicable. This is also the same person who did an ad saying, you want the cure to COVID? Take the kids hunting. That was literally what she said. She's not very smart. And by the way, this isn't like some 85-year-old woman who was back in my day. We took the dog back out. She's 52. If the dog doesn't work out, she could take it to a rescue. She could give it away. She could have done a whole host of things other than killing a dog.
And she's proud of this.
Yeah.
That's why she put it in her book. Thank you so much, Mark. Really appreciate your perspective. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. Jesse from Madison is on the line. Good morning, Jesse. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for taking the call. So I don't know an awful lot about hunting, but I do know a lot about dogs. There are no bad dogs. There's only bad dog owners.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you're having a problem with your dog, in fact, sometimes they say take him to, obedience classes. Most people don't know there's also dog behaviorists.
Yep.
Out there that actually have a college degree in understanding animal psychology.
Yep.
And all it took when we rescued our dog from another family who couldn't take care of it right as COVID was happening, had him come over once or twice to help the rest of the family explain this is what they're thinking, this is how they interact.
Jesse, I'm going to have to stop you right there because we're coming right up against the break. Hang on, though. We'll keep this going. It's a real short pause. Stay close. And join us, 855-752-4842. Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WRJN Racine, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Hey, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. All right, we have all had that moment where it is hard to resist an impulse purchase. Last year, I bought this heart-shaped waffle maker because I was like, won't that make Saturday morning so much fun? Well, it turns out when you don't use the darn thing, you don't have that much fun. So here are two ideas to help all of us cut back on spur-of-the-moment spending. First, unfollow your favorite brands on social media. Last year, companies spent $68 billion advertising to us on social media. They know that stuff works. And second, make a wish list. I love this. I keep mine in the notes section on my phone. When I see something in a store or online, and I didn't have a plan to buy it, but I really want it, I put it on my wish list, and if I still want it a week later, I check my budget and I see if I can afford it. Somehow, I don't think the waffle maker would have made the cut. For more tips on spending less and making more, head on over to workmoney.org. Take good care.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Everyone knows about pacas. No, they're not llamas. They're the beast and super well fleeced. Happy alpaca,
sad alpaca. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join our conversation. Love to hear from you at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We're doing a round of the good, the bad, and they have a festival about what? And we were talking about the bad. Kristi Noem, a governor of South Dakota, out with a new book in which she shares a story about she was trying to train a dog named Cricket, 14-month-old puppy, to hunt. And the puppy went out of her mind with excitement, chasing the birds, having the time of her life. She turned around to bite me. So I knew I had to put her down, and she took the dog to a gravel pit and shot it. And I'm just, I don't hunt, but my brother-in-law has been a bird hunter for a really long time. He always had dogs. Mm-hmm. There is a process to training a dog, and Jesse is on the line from Madison. Jesse, you were the one who said it right before we went to the break, right? That there are no bad dogs, there are only bad owners.
Right, and often when I say that I'm talking, I'm actually using it as a euphemism. Like, there's no bad kids, there's bad parents or bad systems that don't serve kids. But in this case, it's actually a bad dog owner. I think one thing to remember is important. She put this in writing. She introduced a dog she knew was, you know, not yet fully under her control and fully trained in a situation which she alleges then it maybe tried to bite her, which I'm going to be honest, I don't believe that for a minute. I think that's kind of like that South Park episode, you know, it's coming right for us. And I'll leave you with this. It sounds to me like she just confessed to a felony animal abuse charge in a book.
I mean,
well, obviously, I think, Jesse, she believes she's going to be rewarded for this. And there is some speculation. Thank you so much, Jesse, for calling and for listening. Really appreciate it. The article that I'm reading in Raw Story, there's speculation that she put this in here because Donald Trump is a well-known disliker of dogs.
Yeah.
And she is angling to run as his VP. And again, speculation that maybe she's doing this because this will make her look tough to Donald Trump and he'll select her as a running mate. Rick Wilson is an avid hunter. Kristi Noem is trash. Decades with hunting and bird dogs and the number I've killed because they were chicken sharp or had too much prey drive is zero. Puppies need slow exposure to birds and bird scent. She killed a puppy because she was lazy at training bird dogs, not because he was a bad dog.
What are the over under on the idea that she just might be lying too? Because that's a huge thing to admit to in a book. And I don't know Kristi Noem personally, but I know her attitude, and it's very much a whatever.
Right.
I do what I want. But shooting a dog, that's, I feel like that, I wouldn't be surprised if someone's like, no, she didn't actually do that. She's just trying to look tough for Trump and trying to look like she can handle things.
I'm not sure what's worse.
Oh, trust me.
I'm serious. I'm not sure what's worse.
Trust me, Kristi Noem.
The fact that she would actually do something like that,
yeah,
or make up something like that to make her look tough.
I mean, it's not the good, the bad today. It's the good and the absolutely awful. She's awful. She's an awful person.
Should we all collectively shake our fingers at her?
Yeah. Calvin, get in on this.
Take that, Kristi.
You run a whole state.
All right. The good, the bad, and they're having a festival about this, Greg Buck, and we were not on top of this. I am so disappointed in myself.
Yeah, I'm so upset with me too. Right now.
That doesn't sound sincere.
I am kicking myself. I'm not going to get dessert. I'm going to get dessert before dinner tonight.
This weekend, Saturday and Sunday, it's the Great Midwest Alpaca Festival.
What,
can I hear the excitement and the applause and the cheers, please?
Yeah. Where is it?
It's at the Alliance Center in Madison.
Oh, it's not. Oh, I expected this to be like in the North Woods.
No, it's close. Along with the Great Midwest Alpaca Festival is the Wisconsin Alpaca and Fiber Fest going on at the same time.
Say that part one more time. The what?
Wisconsin Alpaca and Fiber Fest.
So is it like, come take a look at alpacas and bread?
The event features alpacas in competition. I'm not sure what they compete for.
And the loser gets taken to a gravel pit and you put one behind the ear. You hear me? Punishments will be doled out.
Bring the bird back or you die.
if they had it up by our state football team, could they call it the Green Bay Alpacas Fest?
Oh.
Thank you, Calvin.
Nice. Alpacas in competition, fiber artists, classes, 50-plus vendors selling yarn, supplies, and crafts, many of them alpaca themes.
Is it 50 plus as 50 or more vendors or people who are of the age of 50 and older?
I believe it is over 50
vendors.
I bet you it's both. There are young alpaca weavers out there.
Don't point your finger at me like that.
Entry is free.
Of course it is.
From 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. tomorrow.
I'm sorry.
Yes, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. tomorrow, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday at the Alliance Center in Madison. Parking is only $8.
You spend more on parking than the festival. Here's the thing is, if I lived in Madison and it was a Saturday and nothing to do, I'd go to the Capital Farmer's Market, get some spicy warm cheese bread and be like, let's go to the alpaca. I've never seen an alpaca up close. So I would totally go. I'm having fun right now, but I would totally go if it was close.
See, you mock.
Absolutely.
But you want to be there.
I lack a certain amount of intelligence, so I have to make fun of things to seem smart to people.
We are going to reach out.
You are going to reach out.
I am going to reach out to the Great Midwest Alpaca Festival, and we're going to talk about alpacas in Wisconsin for a segment of Beyond the Cheese.
We have a bunch of Beyond the Cheeses now.
We do.
Folks, there's a lot of great things happening in this state right now. I know sometimes we can come at you with some downer information, but we hope you can glean the important parts of that information we're giving to you, even if one's not great. But as we were talking with Dan Schaefer, economic expansion, these festivals, we're coming into summer where we're going to see more festivals and things going. It may feel like a fluff story to some, but Milwaukee Public Market getting named the best public market by USA Today, that's a thing. That's a big deal. And so, let's celebrate what we got going on beyond the cheese.
Yes, there is a lot to celebrate here.
Absolutely.
And a lot that we all love and we can all share.
Yes.
No matter where we are along the political spectrum.
Exactly.
We're all pro-alpaca. Come on.
Well.
How can you not be?
I mean.
We'll introduce you to one.
No. I'm just saying there's probably someone in their house going right now. An alpaca killed my uncle. I'll wait in the tall grass for him, and I will have my vengeance.
My revenge. News is coming up next, and then Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com will be here to give us a recap of the Great Milwaukee Film Festival. Thank you so much for joining us, and stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Their eyes are big black shiny gems, alpacas, alpacas. They're soft and cute and poofy as wool and flame resistant too. La 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 la. Since the start of time they've always been around. They're known to come in a rainbow of colors, are ancient yet trendy, and most are cute and friendly. Unless you're pretty scary, yo, alpacas, alpacas. Their eyes are big black shiny gems, alpacas, alpacas. They're soft and cute and poofy as well and flame resistant too. La 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 la.
You're listening to WRJN Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Brief. Tornadoes touched down in three states Friday afternoon. The worst of the damage was in Omaha, Nebraska, where Pat Woods lives.
We watched it touch down about 200 yards over there, and then we went to the shelter. We could hear it going through. When we came back up, our fence was gone, and we looked over to the northwest, and the whole neighborhood's gone.
Hundreds of structures were damaged. As college campuses across the country hold pro-Palestinian demonstrations, Secretary of State Antony Blinken had this to say about the Israel-Hamas war while in China.
The way Israel goes about ensuring that October 7th never happens again matters profoundly.
Former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker took center stage this week at the Trump hush money trial. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
As a witness for the prosecution, he was sharp and acknowledged under cross-examination that prosecutors prepped him for his testimony. When questioned by Donald Trump's lawyers, he seemed more unsure of himself.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
The Brewers beat the Yankees. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers' Joey Ortiz had a big night, a home run, four runs batted in, including the game-winning single in the bottom of the 11th as the crew beat the Yanks 7-6. The home series continues. NBA, the Bucks lose on the road to the Pacers 121-118 in overtime. Damian Lillard, already dealing with a sore Achilles, also suffered a knee injury during the game.
I mean, I laid the ball in, and when I landed, when he tried to block it, he landed on my foot. The way he landed on my foot, it just twisted my knee. You know, and it was painful.
NFL, the Packers have drafted five players, three on defense, two on offense, including USC's Marshawn Lloyd, who reacted to the NFL Network calling him the best running back in the draft.
I'm the best running back in the draft for sure. And I think Green Bay got the best running back in the draft because they think the exact same. I'm super confident with that. I think Daniel Jeremiah, he's what he says. I definitely do feel like he's telling the truth on that part.
That's Marshawn Lloyd with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Few showers and storms tonight and breezy. Temps steady to slowly rising through the 50s. Lingering drops tomorrow morning, then partly sunny and warming into the upper 70s for tomorrow afternoon. Another round of showers and storms tomorrow night on into Sunday. Right now it's 53.
This is Don Rosen. We're talking to local guests with lifestyle and important information for you. Weekday morning, 6 to 8 on 1400 AM, 99.9 FM and 98.1 FM. WRJN, hometown radio, refreshed.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the street because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition. It's culture. It's food. It's beer. You know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Civic Media.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. And we are joined the last Friday of every month on Milwaukee.com's entertainment reporter, Matt Miller, is here. Good morning, Matt. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm seeing the sun for the first time in 2 weeks.
I was going to say, you've been in dark movie theaters pretty much constantly covering the Milwaukee Film Festival.
Yeah, it's been tremendous. It was a really great 2 weeks of movies. It was really wonderful to have a packed house last night in the Oriental's main house. And then obviously going to movies at the Downer again was so nice. Felt wonderful. So, yeah, it was really great. And the movies were great. And many of them are going to be coming back as well, either right now at the Oriental or Downer or later on in the year as well. So if you missed out on a bunch of the really good stuff, you still might have a chance.
Now, how many movies in total did you see?
In total, I saw 17 movies, which honestly is a little low for me. It was a little disappointing.
Yeah, we were going to talk about that, Matt. We were really disappointing you. 17, what a fail.
I know. It was very disappointing, but the movies weren't disappointing. Saw a bunch of really good. My favorite one was the closing night movie, which was an animated film called Robot Dreams, nominated for Best Animated Feature at this past year's Oscars. Just an emotional dagger. You laugh, you cry, you're just moved. And there's not a word in the entire movie.
So really?
Just really great stuff. I just sobbed my face off. It's about a dog that's lonely, so it buys a robot to be his friend. And it's just a lovely movie about friendship and relationships, and I sobbed. I was just a mess.
That reminds me so much of Up.
It's very Pixar-y, but without the kind of, like, sometimes those Pixar movies can feel a little too manipulative.
Yeah.
Like, they know that they're about to destroy your heart. like, they know that your childhood is about to be ruined by watching this movie. And this is this feels a little bit more organic. This feels a little simpler. Like, I love Inside Out, but Inside Out, if you try to explain it and, like, the plot mechanics of it, it's a big old gobbledygook. Whereas this is just a clean movie about, like, a lonely dog and his robot best friend and their, like, lives and adventures. And it was just, honestly, I needed, like, multiple tissues and was just an absolute just destruction.
I love that. And it's called Robot Dreams.
Yes, and I believe that hopefully we'll be coming back to theaters in like May, June-ish territory. If they're smart, they'll give that a solid release. Because honestly, it is a kid-friendly movie. It is for all ages, I would say. And there's just not many movies for kids anymore out in theaters for some odd reason. They've apparently decided that we're only going to release one major kids movie every 3 to 4 months, which is good for that one kids movie because it makes a ton of money.
Sure.
Kung Fu Panda, Puss in Boots, you know, all these kids movies make money now because that's it. And parents have to go see that movie like 3 or 4 times in theaters because there's nothing else.
There was a film, Matt, I was looking through the program and unfortunately, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but I only got to see one movie at the festival. You know what? I'm not the film/entertainment critic for a prominent Milwaukee news source. So
I just thought you liked culture. Pardon me.
Pat Kreitlow referred to me as a bucket of yogurt after I told him I saw a movie
because
at the
you're
film.
So cultured.
Exactly. But there was a movie and I was trying to find the name of it before you came on. It was a movie about a Japanese man who like comes to Montana or Wyoming.
Tokyo Cowboy.
Did you see that? Because that was one that stuck out to me. I'm like, I need, and it, of course, I couldn't make the time. What did you see that?
That one, unfortunately, I wasn't able to see. Wasn't amongst the 17. Sorry, but that's kind of the beauty of the Milwaukee Film Festival. Like, I'll be honest, that wasn't one that really popped on the page for me.
Yeah.
But the fun thing about the film festival is that everyone looks at that program book and different things pop off.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Everyone looks at it. And what also is fun is, you know, I studied that program book back and forth. I saw a bunch of movies. And then on like day 13, I saw a trailer for Swan Song, which is a documentary about the Royal Ballet of Canada putting on a new performance of Swan Lake. And I was like, this movie looks incredible. Like, it looks super intense and doesn't seem like you think like ballet documentary, you think like, oh, delicate, and you know, like it's kind of, and it's like, no, this is like intense and like sweaty and like there's behind the scenes stuff going on. It felt a little bit like Black Swan, the documentary, but without the, you know, without Natalie Portman turning into a bird on stage. So, but yeah, there was just a bunch of really good stuff. And again, I should let people know, you can see some of these movies now still in theaters. The Oriental and The Downer are both still open, and they're showing some Best of Fest options. So if you missed out on The Beast, kind of a sci-fi Lynchian time-hopping story, La Camera, really critically lauded movie. We're Grown Now is showing at some Marcus theaters right now, which is a coming-of-age story about two Black boys growing up in 1990 Chicago. That's gotten terrific reviews and got some Independent Spirit Award nominations. So you can still find these film festival movies at these theaters. So just because the festival's over doesn't mean you should stop going right to the movie.
Or stop looking for these films.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of them are going to be available or are available on streaming or are available on various platforms out there. Calvin brings up a great point in the Talk and Text. Late Night with the Devil is available right now on AMC Plus.
And Shudder.
And Shudder, and I think it's still showing in some Marcus theaters right now because that movie's a hit. That movie was made for like 5 cents, and it is made that back times a million.
And what is it about?
You describe it, Matt. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll do my best. It's like a faux documentary about an 80s late night talk show host who, desperate for ratings, brings on a woman who may or may not be possessed by a demon. And it's done like an 80, like it's done like it's a mockumentary, like it's done like this happened in the past.
Okay.
And that this is like found footage, essentially. And so if you're into kind of different horror movies, kind of avant-garde isn't the right word, but if you're into kind of unique takes on the horror genre, that one is really immersive.
I don't like
speechless.
Horror. I'm kind of intrigued, but at the same time, kind of weirded out. Matt Miller is our guest. He's here from onmilwaukee.com, and we're getting a little recap of the great Milwaukee Film Festival.
One of the things I wanted to talk to you about, and we had discussed it earlier when you were here last time, and I think we actually talked about it when the news broke, is, you know, one of the things that Milwaukee Film Festival has been able to do, Milwaukee Film, is they took over the Oriental Theater, and they've refurbished it. They brought it back to its glory. They're bringing back the organ. But one of the things they did was they brought back the Downer. The Downer, yeah. Just like, it was literally like a Wednesday. And they're like, well, good night, everybody. We're like, wait, what happened?
And that was it, yeah.
But the movie I saw was at the Downer. It was open. And they talked about having their fundraising goal of, like, they're like, we need $85,000. I'm like, I literally go, is that it? That doesn't seem like a lot. But
I'm sad to report that is not it. They're okay. Going to need more. They're okay. Going to need people to keep going to the movies.
But can you talk about that process? Like, you know, it seems like they're just doing really good work, especially in a place like the Downer, which is so historic and important.
It's older than the Oriental. People don't know that the Downer Theater is technically an older building than the Oriental. And I think about, you know, when the Downer closed, it wasn't entirely unpredictable. You know, the pandemic was really hard for especially these kind of more niche theaters.
Right.
And, you know, that was run by Landmark Theaters, which I appreciate what they did here in town. But they weren't, I would say, the greatest patron to that theater. I don't think they were putting a ton of money and ton of investments into that one. And so to have it picked up by Milwaukee Film, who cares about the history, about movies, about Milwaukee, is tremendous. And also when it closed, I thought about like how many movies I wouldn't have seen on the big screen if those two screens, just two screens, weren't open. And it was just like thinking back, like Power of the Dog and some of these Netflix Passing and all these, the kind of some Netflix movies that only streamed otherwise, but the Downer picked those up, and these small indie movies, A Hero Dreams of Sushi, really tremendous food documentary, that was at the Downer. I don't think that was showing anywhere else. So, you know, I just think about, you know, yeah, it's just a two-screen theater, but those two screens can be used to really great ends. And I think that's what we're going to see now with it under the Milwaukee Film umbrella is now they have 5 screens, which means they can book, you know, big blockbusters that are probably going to bring in audiences no matter what, and, you know, our comfort food for whoever wants to go. But now they have a little bit more space to take risks on some indie movies and some documentaries that when they just had the Oriental Theater or when Landmark just had the Downer, it's a little harder to be like, okay, we're going to use all of our screens on small independent movies and hope that people show up for these. Like, I guess we're going to have to get the Batman, you know? I guess we're going to have to get the Fall Guy because, like, there were a lot of times recently where those theaters were all Hollywood movies because that's what's kind of guaranteed money. And that's what, it's a safer bet than being like, I sure hope people show up for, you know, this, you know, this documentary about the Indigo Girls, which, you know, I think that is coming back to the Downer or the Oriental, I believe, this week. So if you're an Indigo Girls fan, that documentary will be back on the screen. But that's not a guaranteed hit. That's not like, oh, boy, get the popcorn popping. We got a big sellout night, you know?
Well, and that's unfortunately, that's the issue. It still needs to you still need to turn a profit. And as much as they as they want to encourage, you know, more serious films and smaller films and things like that, they still have to balance it with bringing in enough cash so they can do those smaller things.
But it's the great Hollywood, you know, dilemma of, you know, oh, we hate these giant blockbusters, but the giant blockbusters fund hopefully the small original movies that would otherwise not exist.
And I think, though, it's a commentary, though, on the film fan, because and it can be, you know, likened to politics. You've got one side of the aisle who's like, I only watch, you know, documentaries and foreign language films that are 3 hours long and have no point. And then you have some people like, I only go see Marvel movies. In the middle are the folks who will go see both. And when you give them the variety and the opportunity to see them, then they're going to be able to enjoy it. And yeah, that's the thing too, is I hope one of the things that Milwaukee Film can do with the Downer is really shine a light on its historic nature and it just being there. Because a lot of times when you talk about the Downer, people would say like, oh yeah, the Downer.
I remember that place.
No one ever says, oh yeah, the Oriental. They know about that theater. But the Downer, they're reminded of. Yeah. It needs to be on the forefront.
Well, and now that it's run by a local institution, run by a local organization, you know, like I said, Landmark, you know, God bless them for, you know, keeping that place open as long as it was and booking good stuff. But they weren't keeping a close eye on the Downer. They weren't, you know, really putting a hard push into, you know, letting people know when movies were coming out there or, you know, doing the kind of things that a small independent theater needs to do these days to kind of stay in business. You really got to let people know when you've got cool movies and when you're doing interesting programs and stuff like that. You can't just sit there and hope people show up because
and that they just
know,
find
just
you.
So much, there's just so much out there right now between streaming and everything else, sports, everything is competition for the movies.
Yeah.
So, you know, the one thing that bummed me out at being at the Downer was seeing the Pizza Man location next door being closed.
Yeah.
Hoping that I heard some rumblings that maybe they might be moving back in there, that maybe there might be something going into that space soon, which would be great because, like, going to a movie and then going next door to have a beer or a pizza and to talk about what you've just seen is a crucial part of the movie going experience.
Well, Milwaukee Film, if you're listening, buy Pizza Man.
Well, and I think you're right. I think you're right, though, Matt. I've seen a couple articles speculating because they just closed the place on Humboldt, Pizza Man did, and that they're speculating now about going back to that spot on Downer. So we'll see if that happens. Can you stay with us for one more? There must have been some dogs that you saw during the Milwaukee Film Festival.
I can't say I saw many, but we can discuss those too.
Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. Matt Miller is here, and you can join us 855-752-4842. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert, the
right?
Yeah, that was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like
right, lean left, straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WRJN, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for Matt Nair on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Thank you so very much for joining us. And welcome back to our guest on Milwaukee.com's Matt Miller, talking all things Milwaukee Film Festival. So nothing was a dog that you actually liked everything, or was there anything that disappointed you, Matt?
There was nothing that I walked out of and was like, oh man, that was
a waste.
Cool. Yeah. You know, there was the worst thing I probably saw, unfortunately, was probably the centerpiece movie, The Queen of My Dreams, which even that I had a hard time hating, though, because it came off a little, it's the story of a girl and her mother and kind of, you know, learning about one another, kind of like a time hopping Lady Bird. And it kind of felt a little amateurish in terms of, you know, how the screenplay came together and how it was edited together. But it was a movie made with such clear, like, love and clear passion and clear want, like emotional desire, that, you know, I couldn't hate the movie. I couldn't walk out of it and be like, gah, strikes again, Hollywood, you know? And I think that's the benefit of something like a movie, like a film festival, or even seeing an independent movie is, you know, it's when you go see The Flash or you go see Kung Fu Panda 4 and you walk out and you're like, well, that was disappointing on like a McDonald's level. Like that was disappointing. Like my expectations were low. And somehow you weren't even able to match that. And there was no flavor. And there was, you know, and whereas when you see an indie movie, even if it's not good, there's like, there's something there. There's like a gem there. This was something that someone creatively put effort into. This was something that, you know, emotions and real thought went into. And that's not to say that, you know, big Hollywood projects don't have people who care about them. But, you know, I would much rather see a movie that's flawed like this one, but is clearly made heartfelt, as opposed to something that feels like it was, you know, tested and IP approved,
right,
and went through enough screenings to make sure all the rough edges were sanded off.
I think that should either be the title of your autobiography or your new tagline.
Really,
I had a hard time hating this.
I mean, honestly, I've kind of reached that point now where it's just like, I think if you're a critic, and there's this idea that critics love to hate things, and nothing could be further from the truth.
It's, you want to love it, right?
It's not fun to spend 2 hours being like, well, I'm hating this experience.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know, and in most cases, we're trying to find things that we like in movies. You know, we're trying to find things that are interesting or stand out or speak to us on some level. You know, we're always trying to find something to appreciate about a movie. It's when you can't find anything. Those are the kind of dire experiences when you're like, I don't know what to tell you about this.
I saw one movie at the film festival. I loved it. It was The Queen of My Dreams.
Oh, no.
No, I mean,
am I the one? I talked to someone else who liked it, too. And
no,
I might just be the lone weirdo who didn't love that movie.
So, full disclosure, I am friends with the writer and director, Fawzia Mirza.
She seems like a wonderful person.
She is.
wasn't in attendance.
Yeah, she was. I saw the Sunday show, and I thought it was. And the thing is like, I will, you know, whether it's food or beer or a lot of things, I have not a developed palate. So for me, what I look for in a movie is I just look for simple connections. And what I really like about her movies and her short films is that she builds these situations which should be very specific. This is about a gay brown woman trying to connect with her mother, who is a devout Muslim. I am just none of those things.
Apply to you?
Yes, but the family dynamic, the tragedy they have to deal with, all connect with me. And yeah. I found myself emotional throughout the entire film because it's just that idea of like trying to reach out and reach your parent and trying to make time when time is short. And plus she's my friend. And also I really appreciated someone asked a question about her film process. She goes, I really love Edgar Wright. I'm like, I knew that because she used the same kind of editing tricks that he does, which tells the story and pushes the comedy. And there's great comedy in that movie. And I laughed out loud, that I really, really enjoyed. In the moments of tragedy and pain, there are moments of comedy, because we've all been there to a funeral where you're cracking jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels good.
Absolutely.
Again, a movie I have a really hard time disliking. And again, like, if that's the worst movie I saw at the film festival, great film festival.
Yeah.
I had issues with kind of the way that I love the kind of what it's trying to tell, you know, this mother and daughter trying to connect, trying to figure out how they got to be the people that they are. And, you know, the similarities and differences between their experiences. But I found that the time hopping storyline, it never really came up with a good narrative purpose for why it was bouncing around. Mm-hmm. And then I kept feeling like it was shortchanging those stories, because each different timeline has really fascinating elements to it. In the modern day, the younger daughter's timeline, you have, you know, the dealing with the kind of patriarchal traditions of this funeral that she's not being able to participate in because she's a woman. In the past, you have her trying to marry this man, but they're moving to a different country. And I wanted more of each of those stories.
I get that.
They kept hopping back and forth between them without really kind of a narrative reason to do that. I got frustrated by that. That was the frustration I had with it.
He is the film critic for Milwaukee on Milwaukee.com. You can always check out his columns. Matt Miller joins us on the last Friday of every month. Thank you so very much, Matt. And we'll see you in May.
Yeah, summer movies to talk about.
Summer movies on the way. All right.
The complete opposite of the film festival.
Thanks a lot, Matt. Take care. Everybody stay close. We have news on the way next. Just a reminder, if you want to listen to the Bucks game, you can catch it tonight. Bucks at the Pacers game, 3-4 p.m. It's on 98Q Country in Park Falls. And in news from the center, WRCE in Richland Center, the Bucks at the Pacers today at 4 p.m. Thank you to Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. And thank you most of all to you for calling and for texting and for listening. It means everything. I hope you find some joy this weekend and you have the chance to share it. Stay right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a good weekend.
Is news, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Madison Mallards' Kyle Chisholm joins us to talk all things baseball. Three headlines in a lie. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Join me, Lou Regani, as we explore the history of Racine, Kenosha, and Wisconsin. For over 30 years, I've told the story of our community, and now I'm excited to be part of Civic Media to continue this journey. So won't you listen in and even be part of the discussion? Tune your radio to 1400 AM or 99.9 FM and 98.1 FM. You can always stream the show live by downloading the Civic Media app.
The Lou Regani Show, Sundays 7 till noon on WRJN. You're listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.